Welcome back, y'all. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network at republicbroadcasting.org. This is hour two of Beyond the Official Narrative, and it's Friday, March the 29th, 2024. I don't think I mentioned the date in the first hour. Shall Mr. Kerry will tan my hide, but this is hour two of Friday, March the 29th, 2024, and I'm enjoying picking Mike Gaddy's and Frederick Blackburn's brain along with Mike in Kentucky on a round table for Good Friday. I hope everybody in RBN is doing well, and happy Good Friday to y'all. I meant to introduce the show the last hour by telling you guys that you have to help fund free speech, please. That yeah. The only way, I mean, RBN is the only place where you could talk like this, and a lot of the things that we cover, you don't going to hear anywhere else. And you get to pick Mike Gaddy and Blackbird's brain too, and that amazes me. That's so if you are able to help RBN stay on there and can donate by credit or debit card, just call 800-724-2719 extension 3, 800-724-2719 extension 3. And if you want to be an anonymous thought criminal like myself here, you just take some cash or make out a check or money order payable to RBN and mail that to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. I'm going to say that one more time. Just cash and aluminum foil, check or money order, mail payable to RBN, and then mail to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas, 78664. Okay, now I'll get back to our conversation. I'm sorry. Sorry to break cut us off. This has been very cool to me to get and pick y'all's brains. I enjoy this. Like I said, the only way to be better is if we were to Dixie Republic in the Confederate corner. And there's going to be a strong arm contest there too, by the way, on April the 20th of April. Saturday afternoon, 4/20/2024 is a strong arm contest at Dixie Republic. So if y'all are anywhere near Travelers Rest, South Carolina, you got to check it out. I was at the last one, and it was a hoot. It was great. All right, so now I'll pass it back to you guys. Mike, I think we interrupted you as the break came on.
Oh, well, I'll come down for a leg press contest. Anybody can do over 440 in the leg press? I don't know what I could do on strong arm. I've stuck my neck out both for RBN and originally I'd lost my enthusiasm for GCN and Alex Jones. He left somebody hanging from a source I have down there near Austin and who's a FCC consultant. His station, he called it initially the flagship station, bounced around for 20 years or so. From one tower site to another, and the FCC would simply issue a cease and desist, and they'd put it up somewhere else. For several years, his station was on the property of a sheriff's deputy, and I think the FCC was like, what do we do now? Because, you know, the sheriff is kind of like the common law is like the high sheriff, you know. It's hard to encroach on their jurisdiction at all. Especially if you're doing something that's not in interstate commerce, which, unfortunately, they would run way more than 100 watts. They were running like 7,000 watts or 3,000 watts different times. And finally, in 2015, I think it was, this elderly couple that had an apartment building and some other real estate got caught as being the flagship host on a little tower. And I believe it might have been 5,000 watts. I don't remember the wattage, but they got a whopping fine of $15,000, like a test case. They were going after them civilly, and they tried to use a bunch of patriot arguments, you know, like, you know, the Commerce Clause and whatever else. But they weren't in interstate commerce, U.S. versus Lopez and stuff. And so the federal court just issued a summary judgment and dismissed their case. So I don't know if they just paid the $15,000 and went on. But in my case, it's $144,344. And so they've pretty much destroyed me, and I was just a production guy. And I've tried to talk to people in the media that are union stuff, union people, and say, hey, don't you realize this is setting a precedent? If you're at a station, a licensed station, doing anything, they can come after you, too. It wasn't ultimately my responsibility to deal with the transmitter. I'm not an engineer, you know, and it was only 18 watts. If you had a really good outside antenna on a high hill, you might reach us 18, 19 miles. You could pick us up enough to watch. And so we barely reached outside the county in some directions. And we reached maybe...
And what was the fine for, Mike? I mean, what did they make that fine for?
Operating without a license, and they come in on us. They used Homeland Security money, I think, is how they did it, because another source I have from the 90s, using Mitch McConnell and some other wrangling, they got the FCC's travel money seriously curtailed. You may remember they would go after CB operators as running these linear amplifiers, and their truck stops and stuff would be illegally broadcasting commercial information about their truck stops. It would reach out 40, 50 miles on the interstate. They used to bust them people, and since the 90s, they laid off a lot. People's CB radios was getting into people's phones and television sets and everything. And I had
remember
called
those days. The CB was like the first internet some ways back in the 70s in a way.
I had called.
Do you guys remember the CBs? I know you do, Mike and Frederick. Let me. I just was remembering those days. I've heard a CB come in on my stereo speakers in the house in the 70s. I remember that too.
Sure.
Oh, I think Smokey and the Bandit like made CB radio the standard. Like everybody had to have a CB radio all of a sudden. That was huge. And it was funny back then. My brother was working at a local radio station here, and I always thought it was cool. His little Ford Pinto that had not only the regular AM/FM radio, but he had his scanner for the police scanner and his CB radio that they would use to monitor all the emergency bands. He was the news guy at the time for the radio station. So, yeah, that was just standard equipment back then, as having a CB radio. And like you said, it was the internet of the day.
Well, I got calls from little old ladies. There was still a problem way up into 2012, 15, somewhere in there, where people would run these linear amplifiers. And one of these ladies called up and said, this thing is getting into my cable. I can't watch you on your channel and my phone. I have trouble using the phone. I said, well, get your grandson or nephew or something to go over there when they're gone and take a nail gun and put it through the transmission line to short it out. When they key up the mic, it'll blow up their amplifier. Because she tried to call the sheriff, and she couldn't get anybody to help her. And, here we are running 18 watts in the stupid electronic, the transformers and substations and everything is just blasting us out of the air. I had a guy call me that was less than a mile from our transmitter, and he said, I can't pick you up. And his antenna turned at 180 degrees opposite direction, and there was a power substation between him and our transmitter. So I turned his antenna around, and it was just full of, tracer bullets, like bacon sizzling. You remember the days of TV antenna? We were still in analog, whenever that was, in 2009. I was saving money for a transmitter. And I didn't know we had problems with the licenses and all these extra fees they'd added. Well, then Obama and I think McCain both took money from the Cell Phone Lobby Association that got Sam Wheeler put in there. Sam Wheeler was all about the Internet of Things. He was going to, amplify the phone networks. Everything the phone lobby wanted that Colin Powell's son couldn't get. Michael Powell, I think, was the head of FCC before him. So $10 million went to Obama and McCain and got Sam Wheeler installed as FCC chairman. And he came after us like gangbusters in 2016, claiming that we hadn't had a license for 20 years. Well, their records were all messed up for one thing, and we had paid to renew the licenses in 2004, and the money was taken. But it was applied, instead of renewing the license, to these annual fees, which I don't think the license owner even knew had been added in 1996. I found the public notice letter that they had sent to our studio address, and they claimed they didn't have our studio address to send us any notices that the licenses had been deleted.
So, is so the station still broadcasting today?
Are you broadcasting now? And because I appealed, they come after us with everything they could muster, and you know they issued a fine of $144,344. Well, there's numerous FM radio stations broadcasting full power, 7,000 to 15,000 watts. They get a whopping fine of $7,500. You know, and never had any license or engineering done. We did all that, or well, I say we. I wasn't involved in it. The guy that started these stations did all that to try to comply with all of their rules. That they pulled the rug out from underneath of everybody and started adding these annual fees that I don't think he knew about. So I don't think he ever paid any of them from 1996 or so. Anyway, I'm just a production guy asked to come help out at this local station, which everybody thought was a cable access station. We didn't even reach 12,000 cable subscribers. Teeny weeny. Hyper local. But because I was trying to expose the domestic surveillance stuff, they were trying to shut me down any way they could. They got some local yokel to get on the that was an auxiliary member of fire department to cuss out the dispatchers on the emergency frequencies, and that got Homeland Security money to come up here and try to find the guy, and they found us on the air and issued a cease and desist. Well, at that point, I'd worked there for 19 years. I'm like, I'm going to appeal this. You never sent us anything about our licenses deleted or that we owed any money.
Homeland Security, man, I swear. There's no telling what's really going on around you all the time. I think about that sometimes too. You know, I named my wife FBI surveillance fan for kicks.
Well, I don't care to drag this out for another 6 or 7 years if I have to, and file for disability or something. You know, and give it all a big raspberry, because the most they can garnish, and I tried to tell Jim Fetzer this, the most that they can garnish your wages at 15% from Social Security and retirement. I know people that went to school back in the 90s to get a graduate degree back when non-traditional students would not have to pay back their loans once they turned 65. Well, they pulled the rug out from under them, and now they're being garnished. They're in their 80s, and their Social Security and retirement gets 15% cut.
Now, if anybody's student loan ought to be forgiven, I mean, somebody in their 80s, give me a break.
Exactly.
You know, that just shows you what would we do without government?
A lot more, probably. I'd say bring back the poor farms, and heck, I'd probably go live on a poor farm. I'm tired of contributing to this corrupt bunch of crap.
I remember you started to mention what your theory about Obama too, Blackburn, earlier. I forgot that you had brought that up, and I wanted to ask you what you said that he was groomed by that guy Davis, right? That pornographer. I mean, they're always he was his mom was starring. You know, it just that's who they elected for the president, the first quote unquote black president. And I wanted to get back to that a bit. I mean, that's like, okay, I'm glad. I hate that $144,000 is crazy that they would fine you that too, man. You've told me this in pieces before, and it just dawned on me that that's crazy just for an 18 watt station. Jeez,
right?
You know.
Well,
go ahead, man. It just boggles my mind that they would do that. Imagine, no wonder they put those January 6 people in the gulag, and then they set them up. You know, brought them in and set the whole thing up. It's just
They've exposed that the location data was all exposed for their cell phones. Mm-hmm.
Oh, so, and then they'll hide the evidence, okay? When you've got, if you've got exculpatory evidence on your cell phone, well, they'll confiscate it and won't give it back to you. I mean,
exactly.
That's the world we're living in. Right? That I've talked to people who had that happen to them up with the Patriot Front, you know?
You cannot access the data to defend yourself.
No.
That's the problem.
Anything that, yeah.
Man, they're slurping on the
data. We are definitely living in the USSA, y'all. That's what I think anyway. Mike and Frederick, what do you think? You think this is the USSA now?
Beyond that. East German couldn't but dream of this. The Stasi couldn't dream of this system they've got.
I hope we didn't lose our NSA survivors. You guys still with us? Do you think this is the USSA now? I mean, really,
yeah,
Homeland Security?
I know
here.
Nothing.
Yeah.
Oh, hey. You guys don't mind if we take some callers, do you? We have them stacking up, I see.
I was wondering if we were going to take any.
What you guys like? Okay,
to...
look.
Whatever blows your dress up, Stephen.
Well, I want to go to the Confederate Corner and do this again with whiskey, cake, and coffee. But that's just me, you know. I miss the Dixie Republic, y'all. But okay, yeah. Let's go ahead and take some calls. We got Andy in Texas first. Hello, Andy. Thanks for calling, sir.
Well, hey, gentlemen, thanks for taking my call. You guys have been all over the board, so let me just go all over the board. Let's go back to this boat crash or this tanker crash into the Maryland bridge and whatnot. You know, I just learned today watching Jeff Berwick on Dollar Vigilante. It turns out that the CEO of the shipping company was related to the wife of Mitch McConnell. And either I think it was her sister or something. And it turns out a week before this accident happened, she skidded out in a Tesla and slipped into some water and stuff. And she literally drowned in her Tesla because there was unbreakable glass in the doors or whatnot. She couldn't get out. Everything was electric. She couldn't. There's no handle to open the door. So this is kind of an interesting twist. And then you also look at the fact that if you watch that video over and over again of this thing hitting this thing, it almost turns its way into this pillared and whatnot. And then there's some other things. And I'm not saying any of this is true, okay? I'm just saying what I've heard. And then there's people who've slowed down the videos and stuff, and they show these flashes in the bridges just before the rest of it falls down. And then when it's so flipping hot metal, when it hits the water, there's steam coming up. Now, if it was a complete just collapse, I mean, what kind of friction could be, you know, converse for a collapse if there wasn't some sort of charge that blew it up? I'm not saying any of this is true, so don't take me the wrong way on this conversation. But the point of the matter is, let's go one other place, and then I'll shut up and let you guys comment. Okay, so in the movie Leave the World Behind, in the first scene and stuff, they show a tanker floating up on the beach, right on where people are sitting at. A big tanker comes floating up on the beach. And the next thing you know, the power's out, all these Teslas are down, and all this stuff is parked on the road and stuff. So, I mean, just kind of message-wise, when the tanker hits this thing, just before it hits the thing, the lights go out. And then they come right back on, and the next thing you know, they go back out again as it actually hits the pillar. And so, I mean, these people are really good at sending some messages to us and stuff. What do you guys think about that? I'm not saying I believe any of this. I'm just asking your take on it.
Mr. Gaddy, what do you think about this? Have you seen that? This bridge? What do you think about that?
Well, the whole thing, anytime something like this happens, it's not going to be what you think it is. It never is. These are pre-planned. There's a lot of, you know, was it just a coincidence that the captain of the ship happened to be Ukrainian?
Ukrainian?
Yeah. Now, you know, but the point of it is that the mind control of the CIA, which started in 1947, they started their MK Ultra, and it's still going on, even though they tell you it's not. But they have gotten two or three generations of Americans who couldn't think on a bet, but they've got all of these pent-up emotions. So all you do is you design your PSYOP to appeal to emotions. You don't have to worry about thinking people because they're in such a minority, it makes very little difference.
Keep us all spinning our wheels trying to pay the bills.
Yes, that's exactly the thing, you know, and that's one of the things I brought up the other day. The, when people, and I know I'm jumping ship here, but years ago when they brought up this wonderful equal rights amendment thing, we're going to give the women equal rights as the men, all they were really doing was trying to double the revenue sources for income tax.
Well, there was a study that came out about 6 months ago that said since 1980, women have increasingly done better and men haven't when you compare it to the inflationary dollars. Men's real take-home wages are going down. Besides, you know, and when I read that, I just like blew it off and went on without studying what they're calling.
Well, but, you know, but the ship, wages. Okay, listen, that I wanted to say also, the ship, yeah, about the ship, enjoy the show, right? And put it on as a show. It's like they knew it was coming. Biden came out immediately afterwards and said, we're going to pay for everything. I mean, who else is? When have they done that? What about paying for Lahaina or those people where the train derailed in Ohio? You know, they, how about covering some of that? But no, that is the most telling thing about it to me is that that guy came out and just did that right afterwards. You know, 1:30 in the morning, it happens, 8:30 a.m., they got it covered. What?
Yeah. Well, I think it was later than that, wasn't it?
Early in the morning, he came out and announced that they were going to pay for it all.
Au contraire, because he also said, when he said he was going to pay for it, he said he remembers this bridge, and he remembers driving across it as well as riding a train across it.
There's no train tracks on it.
Mm. Yeah, so the whole thing is bogus. Everything is bogus. Everything. That's another thing that I wanted to bring up, and you know, I'd like to hear BB's point on this, too. Everything that's going on right now, I don't care if you like Putin or not. He's playing a role. I don't care if you like Zelensky or not. He's playing a role. All these people are playing a role, and so many of them have gone out of character to figure. You can figure out they're out of a role. The best one playing the character right now is Putin. Putin is playing a really serious role here. If, in fact, he is an actor in this entire global takeover that they're doing and stuff, he is probably the Golden Globe, the Emmy, the Oscar. He's got it going on, if, in fact, that's what's going on and whatnot. But, I mean, when you look at the Israeli war going against the so-called Hamas, I mean, when you see videos of these people seeing just random people going back north to see if they can find what the hell has been broken. Maybe there's something left we can use. And then you see Israeli people bombing these people. They don't have guns. They don't. All they have is clothes on walking up north, and these people are getting bombed and stuff. I mean, this is, no matter what it is, they're killing people. But they're playing a role, and it's all about depopulation, and we're all victims to it. And like a lot of people have been saying, the role of what's happening in Palestine right now, in Gaza right now, that's what we're looking forward to right now. And America, thank God we have guns. They didn't take them away from us like they did the rest of the world and stuff. But that's not enough for this. I mean, if we got to win this war, we're going to have to do it guerrilla style. I mean,
they're going to take the guns.
Absolutely. They're going to try to.
Oh, they're going to. Because the majority of people, 80 million gun owners in this country, and 60 million of them are cowards, and the others think the guns are for entertainment.
That's probably realistic.
You're probably right there. That's sad but true. It can get overwhelming sometimes. Thanks for the call, Andy. Our lines are full, you wanted to hear Blackbird's response, and I'll let him give that, and then we'll go to the next caller. Thanks a lot, Andy.
Oh, real quick, great call, great points on the bridge. Yes, as soon as I saw it, you know, I immediately go into my usual, is this organic, is this synthetic? If it's synthetic, you're looking at problem, reaction, solution. So it's who had the motive, who had the means, who had the opportunity, who benefited. And I place it in the timeline of right after the U.S. abstained in the big U.N. Security Council vote rather than vetoing it, so they go against Israel's wishes, you know, and also right after the big Moscow, you know, event, and Moscow announces that the ISIS story is complete bogus, you know, that these people were actually working for U.S. intelligence and Ukraine and Israeli. So then all of a sudden you have this event in our key harbor in Baltimore, and that the ship is, you know, a foreign flag ship named after Salvador Dali. So immediately you have this surrealism going on that, yeah, okay, this, wow, Dali ship goes through this thing of losing power, gaining power, losing power, gaining power, and then you see the smokestacks puff like it's gunning it, and this, you know, goes to a beeline to the central pillar, and then as you see the synchronized military precision of a collapsed bridge, and like you said, at all the key points, there appear to be flashpoints. That's either where electrical high-voltage electrical cables are snapping, and it just happened to be in the right order that the lines were still hot each time, which is very, you know, statistically, you know, dicey, or those were thermite charges going off at the key stress points to collapse that. And, of course, we didn't get to see any photos of those points to see if there was, like on 9/11, if there was sign of molten steel, thermite melting, things like that. And the big telltale to me was that immediately, this is like 9/11, when Ehud Barak and Jerome Hauer immediately come out before the towers even collapse and do the parlor scene of 9/11 and say it's Osama bin Laden and Al-Qaeda. You know, it's like, no, we've got it all figured out. Same thing. They come out and say, we've completed our investigation in a mere 6 hours, and there's absolutely no way this was anything but an accident. And we're going to pay for it. The federal government is going to pay for it, so we don't have to worry about pesky things like insurance companies doing independent research on what happened, right? So, you know, it just stinks stuff, you know, high, you know, whatever. And so it's like, you know, who had the motive, who had the means, who had the opportunity? And also, you always go into that, let you and them fight. Was this designed to make it look like this was a Russian operation, you know, so that we would retaliate against Russia? So there's just so many factors. And, of course, you know, just, you know, there's no real investigation in this at all, just like there's no real investigation of 9/11. And the topper this morning is when they say they lost the 2 minutes of the black box recorders when the events was taking place, right? So it's just, you know, it's 9/11 all over again.
Hey, Frederick. Frederick, is this World Trade Center Building 7 Part 2?
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's like, okay, that building standing over there is going to collapse on its own in 3, 2, 1. That ship is going to pull out of the harbor and immediately hit that center pylon. And instead of just it kind of ramming up and bending the bridge out, you have a full structural collapse of the entire Francis Scott Key Bridge. And now they want to rename it because he was racist.
No, he certainly was.
We'll be right back, folks.
Truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news, real talk, real people. Because you can handle the truth.
I'm so excited to have you as part of the Wild Pastures family, and we look forward to bringing you the pasture-raised meats that you and your family will love. Now, we started Wild Pastures because so many of my clients would tell me they just couldn't find high-quality pasture-raised meats, and even when they did, it was so expensive that they couldn't afford to eat it regularly. Now, I'm not talking about the bottom-of-the-barrel healthy meats that have claims like natural or free-range or even cage-free, terms that were actually created by the industrial food industry to make us feel all warm and fuzzy about buying their low-quality products. I'm talking about truly nourishing pasture-raised meats, the kind that you'll never really find in a grocery store. Our farmers are doing things beyond organic. Our beef is 100% grass-fed and grass-finished and raised on pastures free from chemicals and other pesticides. Our chickens are 100% pasture-raised, where they get their natural diet of grass and forage and insects. We will never settle for free range, which is actually one of the most deceptive terms in the chicken industry. In fact, less than 0.1% of the chicken consumed in the United States is truly pasture-raised in the way that ours is. And our pork is 100% pasture-raised as well. So if you care about where your food comes from, then you have definitely made it to the right place. As a Wild Pastures member, you'll be supporting the most highly principled farmers in America and getting the most nutrient-dense, nourishing, and sustainable meats in the world. I'm confident you'll love being part of our mission at Wild Pastures, and you will really love the delicious, nourishing meats that we're going to deliver straight to your door.
Visit republicbroadcasting.org and click the Wild Pastures banner ad. Secure a shipment today. Beef, poultry, and pork raised the way nature intended.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
Welcome back, RBN. You're listening to Beyond the Official Narrative Roundtable Edition. I'm Stephen Whitener, not Richard Carey, your host. And next up, we have Ken in Texas. Ken, thanks for the call, sir.
Boy, you covered a lot of ground tonight. You're like flying Mach 5 plus or something. Let me just start out with your comments about socialist America and or Berlin. And that is that, you know, if they start building a wall or get the border control under wraps, that we are now East Berlin 2.0, because pretty much all the damage has been done already. So if they build the wall, we're in trouble. I'd like to posit that thought. Another one, this may be a BB call, but it was my understanding that all of the intel data went to MI5 first and then to the Mossad or wherever they decided to route it.
It's a co-op.
Right. So it's a parallel thing then, not an MI5 decision?
Well, the incredible thing is the way they have all of these allied intelligence agencies known as the Five Eyes, and this is a tricky way that they can get around their own constitutions of spying on their own people. One country will spy on another country and give them the information. They share it, and then, of course, Israel gets copies of everything.
Amen.
The round robin kind of thing.
Always gets the raw data of everything. You know, country A may only get this from country B, but nothing from country C type thing. But Israel always gets everything.
Oh, great point there.
Kind of like the old token ring network.
Absolutely. Oh,
I remember 4 and 16 meg token ring.
Absolutely, and you hit the nail on the head there, buddy. Thanks, BB9. That was just very astute. Most people don't know that, but if our Constitution says we can't spy on you, we'll just let Mossad do it. And so it has been a coordinated effort in every country that has ever been there. It's just absolutely amazing the way that we tolerate this and we let it continue to happen. It's, I don't know, BB9, help me out here before I get upset.
Oh, no, you're spot on. And yeah, it's the thing that people just don't realize what they're doing. And, you know, once you realize that everything is being vacuumed up, you have to look at, you know, who's doing it and what's their end game. And, of course, that brings you to people like Noah Harari, with his social credit score, where we're going to move to a post-free will society, where you're going to have artificial intelligence deciding for you because the computer now knows you better than you know yourself. And we don't need to have a free will society. The computer will make your decisions for you. So, yeah, this is the end game they're going for. And, of course, part of that is the first we have to take out all the nonconformists, all the natural leaders, everybody who can stand up to us, and their network of people. So part of this strategy going from total information awareness to trailblazer to full spectrum dominance to prism was all about grading, sorting, and culling the population of threat analysis. And this was all getting jump-started under General Michael Hayden, who was put there by Bill Clinton, Jeffrey Epstein's friend. So you've got a president being blackmailed into putting these people in power that are completely corrupted. You know, who did, after Michael Hayden left the NSA, where he put all this information in before 9/11. I can't emphasize that enough. This was all in place before 9/11. Mm-hmm. Then he went to the CIA, where he took care of making sure all the evidence tapes showing the link between the Abu Ghraib torture scandal and all this, torturing that was going on, enhanced rendition or interrogation techniques or whatever they called it, not torture, was being trained by the Mossad. And so he destroyed all of that evidence linking the torture scandal to the Israeli Mossad, right? So this is a cleanup guy, and then he leaves to go to work for none other than Michael Chertoff, who was the guy who got all the evidence out of New York shipped to China before it could be forensically analyzed, right? So, and he did the Chertoff group. Those are those radiation death machines at the airports. You know, that's Michael Chertoff. So this is a small group of people, but they're like slime mold. They have gotten into all the levers of power, especially in the intelligence world, in every occupied slime mold nation, and they're working together against the indigenous populations of those nations. So back to
they built an empire.
Well, Blackbird, if I may, let's go all the way back to World War II. Let's go back to the FDR administration, when at least he had 235 Soviet agents working throughout his administration. And how many of those were Jewish?
Well, you know, getting back to what we were talking about first, Al, I never got to share these data dots. But remember, when the Soviet Union, the Bolshevik Red Terror, seized control, the United States stopped all ties, diplomatic ties, with the Soviet Union because they saw it for what it was. And when FDR gets in the office, first thing he does is open up diplomatic relationships with the Soviet Union, and suddenly Stalin becomes Uncle Joe, right?
Yep.
And you know, all through World War II, it's Uncle Joe and FDR and Churchill going to save the world. And then in, you know, Mr. Mike in Kentucky was asking about when did the shift take place. My hypothesis is right after Stalin dies and was most likely assassinated by the Jewish cabal in 1953, in Purim season, March 5th, Stalin dies mysteriously. And in the 19th of June, 53, Julius and Ethel Rosenberg were executed by electric chair in the U.S. for being traitors by selling nuclear secrets to the Soviet Union. And then on the 27th of June, 1953, Marshal Zhukov's Red Army divisions from Ural moved into Moscow and basically cleaned house. They went into two of the Ministry of Internal Affairs and NKVD buildings, and the end of the story basically is over thousands of mainly Jewish NKVD members were killed that night, and this was the turning point where suddenly we're in the Cold War. Because there's been this major coup of all these really dark homosexual Sabbatean Frankist NKV Cheka types of the Soviet Union. So, and that suddenly, you know, we're at war with the Soviet Union. You know, so I think that was a real big turning point, was in 1953. So back to you.
Great.
I got one more. Regarding that container ship crash, we just need to go back to fairly recently when it was our destroyer or whatever ship it was. They got shut down, either EMI or EMP, and a whole bunch of sailors quit after they realized that they were perfectly helpless.
Oh, the USS
Cook. I think there's a connection there. And I'll hang up and listen to y'all's responses. Thank you.
Thanks for your call.
Thanks for the call, buddy.
Yeah, great information there, Blackbird 9. That's just putting it out there. But, you know, the thing I brought this up, as a matter of fact, I had a listener actually text me while we were in this conversation, and she asked the question, how long has America been controlled by the Jewish element? And I said 1787.
I'd say 1492.
I think you jumped me by 3 decades there, buddy. But we know
if we really want to go back, when the Knight Templars, you know, in 1300, you know, with most likely they became the Pirates of the Caribbean. So all these homosexual Jews, you know, left the Knight Templars to go to the New World and become the Knights of the Caribbean, you know. So,
hilarious.
The Pirates of the Caribbean, excuse me.
Wow. Plundered the old world. Now they're going to come to the new.
The slime mold has been here from day one, you know, but they're very good at hiding themselves. You know, what is it Sun Tzu says? Appear big when you're small, appear small when you're big, you know, and they just know how to play in the shadows until it's time to strike. And then you realize what happened. I used to have a country. I don't have a country anymore. Now we got this hidden hand shadow government, you know. So back to you.
Well, yeah, Daddy.
Yes, sir.
We got some callers, y'all. I don't want to leave them hanging. Let me go ahead and take our next caller, guys. Sorry, I don't mean to step on you, but Patrick in Wisconsin, go ahead.
What you need to do, you the boss.
Yeah, but thank you, Mike. Thanks, yep. Patrick. Thanks for calling, sir.
Hey, good evening. I'd like to talk. Someone was mentioning why you couldn't have small radio stations anymore, mom and pop type radio stations. And I just got off the phone about an hour ago with John Barber, and we were talking about the fairness doctrine and how that basically killed all those thousands of mom-and-pop radio stations, and then Clear Channel was allowed to come in and buy up everything, you know, the big networks. And then DCMA.
May I please? I'm sorry, but who owned that network?
Clear Channel was CIA out of the Cayman Islands.
Free Channel? Yeah, but who was listed as the actual owner of the free channel?
Oh, please tell.
Mitt Romney.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me one bit. We were talking about Hale Boggs. He was on the Warren Commission.
Yes.
And he ended up going down in an air crash up near from between Juneau and Anchorage, Alaska. And John was telling me that the guy who drove him to the drove Boggs to the airport was none other than Bill Clinton.
Wow.
He was questioning the Warren Commission and wanted a reinvestigation, and was talking with Jim Garrison about getting a new investigation into the Kennedy assassination at the time. So
this may be
chalk one up for the Clinton body count.
Well, I'm sorry, but if I may, let me interject here. I have a very, very good friend. You know, he's almost like a brother, and he's into his 90s. And he lives in Arkansas, has lived in Arkansas his entire life. At one time he owned an airline, a small, very small airline. I think he had three aircraft in his small airline. But when Bill Clinton was attorney general in Arkansas and when he was governor, this gentleman flew Bill Clinton on places that he didn't want people to know where he was going. And he flew him back and forth. Now, some of them were Arkansas football games or basketball games back then, but many of them are very good. Over the years, back in 2017, I went to my friend and I said, "You really need to get this down, buddy. You need to put this in print." He said, "Nah, nobody would be interested in it." Well, now he's into his 90s, and he is dictating his notes about all of this to his wife. And he wants to publish it. And he said, "The one thing I know now is that in my 90s, they can't scare me anymore."
Yep.
So just wanted to throw that out there. Let's get the callers going, guys. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Yep.
Thanks for bringing that up. Yes, and thank you for the call. I hope John's doing well. That he's a treasure trove of information, too. I guess we'll go on to the next caller. We have Sherry in Kansas. Sherry, thank you for the call.
Over.
Yep, Sherry, are you there?
There we go.
There
okay.
you go. Howdy.
This is a great show, guys, and I didn't catch the first hour, so excuse me if you already covered this. Okay, Mike from Kentucky was talking about his fine, and I can't help but think about, you know, Sam Bankman-Fried was just sentenced here. I think it was on the news yesterday. And I remember reading in the American Free Press all the money he gave to these people running for Congress. Mm-hmm. And, you know... And I'll bet they didn't claw any of that back. But I know he bought some properties, and I'm wondering if they even clawed that back. But, I mean, it's just infuriating, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted, Mike Gatti, if you ever cross paths with Don DeGrand Prix, I'd like you to talk about that sometime on your shows, because I try never to miss your shows, man. I just love you, Mike.
thank you, Sherry. I'll try to keep that quiet. You know, we don't want these love things to get out of hand here. Oh, thank you, Sherry. You're a treasure. And
I'm just
at
learning
your request,
so much from you.
At your request, I will provide that in an upcoming show.
Okay. All right. That's all I had. Let somebody
Thanks
else
very much
on.
For the call, Francis. I want to try to get to everybody if I can. Francis in North Carolina is next. Francis, thanks for the call.
Well, hey, fellas.
Howdy.
Hey. Wishing you all a fun weekend for that matter to start off with. You know, whenever I come across that video regarding the bridge coming down in Baltimore with that cargo ship and so forth, there's a couple of questions I have that's probably non-relevant or whatever. Go figure. That's just me. But one, was the cargo ship empty when it first came into the harbor to start with? And was all this documented to begin with, as you would think it would be? And two, the prospect that whenever it was leaving out of the harbor, how is it that, well, obviously there's not a toll bridge where you have the pavement is splitting and raising up for the ship to go through, thus causing the traffic to stop on either side of the bridge to begin with.
Way higher than the cargo ship.
Well, that's good to know, except for one problem. Even if the bridge is higher than that, you would think that there would be precautionary measures to make sure that there's no traffic movement whenever a cargo ship like that is going under the bridge, regardless, yep. Because you never know, well, for one thing, when the bridge was constructed, what was done to make to shore up and make sure that the pylons or whatever they call it was secured and so forth against any possible malfunctioning watercraft from hitting it accidentally or whatever. And the fact that the aspect that they allowed traffic to go over the bridge at that time because there were vehicles on there, I'm thinking, well, supposedly there were warning lights that went off during the midst of the fact that the thing was moving. And I'm like, wait a minute, that doesn't speak for the vehicles that are already on the bridge to start with. So there's questions about the traffic on the bridge as well as what was stopped to keep from going across it, let alone was the cargo ship empty before it ever went into harbor to load up to start with. And I'm just wondering, because it's just a very bizarre scenario from my perception of it, which is different. But
I think it stinks, the whole thing. I agree with you. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but I do want to go. I've got four more. I try to let everybody have a chance if I can. I don't think I could get there. But that thing, and while we're talking, everybody's arguing about the bridge and dissecting it and falling apart, they're starving all those people to death in Gaza, is what I thought earlier today. Look over here. Look over here. Argue about this, you know, dissect this, but don't pay attention to that. Don't let people know that's going on.
You know,
try to get it
stopped. You know what throws salt in the wound? The fact that they all of a sudden, not even within a 12-hour period, offering financial help for what happened, but yet they didn't bother with that for Palestine, Ohio, with the train derailment. Now, that was
exactly
my concern earlier.
I agree.
Y'all have fun with him. Later.
Thanks very much for the call.
Let me mention three hashtags before you take the next caller.
Right,
if anybody's on Facebook, hashtag constructive fraud that is the internet. I've been using that one for probably 10 years. Hashtag XKeyScore and hashtag ICReach. You can start diving in on this domestic spying stuff with just those three hashtags and find stuff I've been posting about for 14 years.
Okay, thanks, Mike. And next, I have Tom in Florida. Tom, I got two others I wanted to talk. I don't know if I could get to everybody. I apologize if we don't get to all of the callers, but thank you all for spending your Friday night with us. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, have a good Friday, everybody. Sherry kind of stole my thunder about Samuel Bankman Free, this schmuck who gave $80 million at a demon rat party, which, like she was saying, they'll never give back. This guy and George Soros. Soros needs to be arrested along with this Sam Bankman-Fried. But here's what I want to ask you, gentlemen. You were talking about the timeline of Blackbird about 1953. You remember what happened in 1943 with Nikola Tesla?
Oh.
Go ahead.
Hello? Had what? In 1943, Nikola Tesla had the death ray. The death ray. And the Russians bought the patent for $25,000. Guys, remember that? Heard about that? And also, do you know, in 1943, do you know who confiscated all of Tesla's papers? You gentlemen know?
The FBI. The FBI, didn't they? I've heard this part of the story. I don't remember that about him selling it. Who was it?
I'll tell you the guy. I'm going to give you his name, but I think the guy actually is a hero. Now that I weighed it out, I actually think the guy is a hero. 1943. I don't know. I'm a little perplexed on it, but I have to figure it totally out. Maybe Blackbird could do the research. But in 1943, Nikola Tesla died, and one guy went in there and got that paper. He had to order it by FDR. And then January 2nd, he was in the, supposedly, I don't know if it was a secret meeting, but he's going to go to see FDR. But the man who got the got the order to get the papers worked from Nikola Tesla was none other than John Trump.
Oh, Trump's no.
What? Yes.
Not really? The Orange Messiah.
Donald Trump's uncle, John Trump, is the one that confiscated the box, the cases. And accordingly, there are supposed to be 80 cases, but he wrote down there's only 30. Now, I don't know if he stopped the Russians from getting the death ray, which I believe he did, because in 1953, the Rosenbergs were gassed to death for treason. So I don't think the Russians ever were able to get it. And I believe maybe, I'm figuring this out, maybe you can do it in the research, Blackbird, but I think John Trump maybe had stopped the Russians at that time, and I believe he may have been a big player in stopping them from getting the death ray.
John,
wait just a minute, guys. Here's something that we have to remember in this whole discussion is the fact that the Russians got all of the information they needed on the atomic bomb through the Lend-Lease program. That is in Major Jordan's diary. They got all of that. The people who were executed, that was just a show for the people.
Okay, but when did the Russians detonate their first
atomic
bomb?
Yeah, I'd heard that before, too. Hey, Tom, I hate to cut you off, but I want to try to get to the last two callers before we fade out. I don't know. Thanks again for listening. And before we go, Lynn in Maryland. Lynn, maybe we can squeeze you in, too.
Yeah, thank you. I'm here at Ground Zero. Actually, that ship had 4,700 containers, and it actually was it's just huge. But there were a couple things. Remember, last Friday, the head of the CIA and the head of Mossad met over there, over in the Middle East. Okay, number one. Number two, all week long, and I have to tell you, all week long, Russia, China, Iran, rah, 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 rah. Okay, and don't worry, there are no people starving in Gaza. No, nobody's starving. Okay, everything's fine. Who's pissed off?
Man, I'm sorry to cut you off. We got to fade out.
There's a
no-fly
zone, and there was a question by a reporter that there is a big vessel or vehicle under the water at the crash site. So if somebody has access to look underwater, I would do it, because they don't have the ability.
Thanks again for the call. Thank you all for doing this with me. This was fun. I hope we can do it again at the Dixie Republic one day. Thank you for listening, RBN. And thank you, Richard Carey, for letting me fill in for you. I'll talk to you all tomorrow. Commit some thought crimes. Mike Blackbird. Mike, thank you again.
Thanks for having me.
You got it, buddy.
Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a great weekend.
Standing 6'4", weighing in 245 pounds of crime-fighting, political science-analyzing brawn, ladies and gentlemen, Dr. Patrick Slattery.
So, Mike, get off this anti-cicada agenda.
I'm a born-again traditional Christian, and my favorite possessions are right here on my nightstand. That would be the King James Bible and my .357 revolver.
I'd rather be ruled by Chinamen than Jews.
Cool it with the anti-Semitic remarks, right?
Just because you steal an election and terminate the republic doesn't mean you terminate the people in the republic, because we're still here.
I'm not taking the vaccine. F*** you, Bill Gates.
There was a way forward still on January 6th. What needed to be done is to object to every single state.
The COVID-19 virus was the setup. The vaccine could very well be the bioweapon.
The Patrick and Jeremy Show. Tuesday at 9 Central and Wednesday at 1 Central.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.